Yeah. So why don't we do, Mike, why don't we do a couple of Richard Herring random questions with Danny Boy?
Oh, Danny Boy. We went to watch Richard Herring record his podcast live at Leicester Theatre a couple of weeks back. And part of the thing he does is throw random emergency questions at guests. So I've bought his book in the meantime. So I feel like I can use his material because I paid for this. That's fine. Sorry, Richard, if you're ever listening, which you're not, but whatever. So I'm going to dive straight into a random question. So, Dan, no pressure. The world is watching. If you had a tribe of Oompa Loompas living in your house or workplace, what would you make them do? And would you insist they sing songs or stay quiet?
Sing songs. Already know that. And I'd like to have it to a drum and bass soundtrack.
Drum and bass Oompa Loompas. And what would you, would it be at home or in work?
Right now, I'm making me think work would make the best whiskey ever.
There you go. So you'd have basically Charlie and the Whiskey Factory.
Yeah, they would be going doing that because
Dan and the Whiskey Factory. There you go.
Do you remember that movie? Fantasia or something? Fantasia, I think that like Disney film. Yeah. It'd be like a drum based version of that, just cracking all the time.
No, that's it. When I remember years ago, the reason I say this, I was at a ski resort out in France, and they put on an Oompa Loompas drum and bass remix. Literally, I heard it. I'm like, that is amazing. Obviously, I'm assuming I drunk a bit. And I went searching for it after, never found it since, but that is where that answer comes from. I want to hear that song again. It might, after a day, be a little bit irritating.
Love it.
Worth it.
I love 90s drum and bass. It was really good.
That's like, so good.
All the break beats and stuff, and like the really spaced out songs. There'd just be a song called like Helicopter. It's just drum and bass, and then occasionally they play a the sound of a helicopter. And that's the whole song.
Yeah, and Man of Steel. You know, they had the stupid bit. Yeah, I used to love that.
Yeah, I might have to dig it out. I used to have like a 4-album disc set and then like another 3-album disc set. And that between it was something like probably like 130 songs, which is about as much classic 90s drum and bass as you need.
You probably had 90% of all of the music that was out at that time.
Yeah. There was one song that went dump.
Summer days
drifting away. And that was what my friend Johnny at university used to do, what we called the broken back dance, where he would stand, hunch over and drop his arms and just do like elbows up like that. And he'd just do that for like 4 hours.
Love it.
That was all he did.
Duncan, I've got one for you. Good question for you now. Where do you see yourself in 500 years' time?
Dead.
Ah, right. Easy. Back to you, Dan. That was a real quick one. If you owned a racehorse, what would you name it?
Dan is freaking awesome.
Right. Dan, have you ever been fired? If so, what for?
I've never been fired. No, I've only ever had like a load of official warnings.
Not even by Busta Rhymes. Did he fire you up?
Oh, God.
What's wrong with that?
Love it.
Actually, I wouldn't say why I've had official warnings. It probably, I don't think in the modern world they'd be acceptable. In the old days, they were funny.
I don't need to explain that. Let's leave that to listeners' imagination.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Last one. What is your hometown's claim to fame? And what is your hometown where you grew up?
Mine or Dunk?
Dan.
Hometown claim to fame, where I live right now and how went to school, is the home of the UK's first ever martyr.
Can you say UK? Otherwise we can't include it.
Yeah, UK. Yeah.
First ever martyr. His name was Saint Alban. Actually, no, his name was Alban, but he became a saint.
Yeah.
And there's loads of bits, but I only know that because this weekend we had the Alban procession weekend in St. Albans.
That's so funny because you grew up in the place of St. Alban and I grew up worshipping the saint of All Bran.
Oh, well, the cereal.
Yeah.
Did you have trouble with it as a kid?
Everyone just throwing shapes.
My dad was obsessed with it. It's like eating a whole box of just thick cardboard.
Yeah.
And
wet.
I was growing up, if I needed to punish myself, if I'd maybe stepped out of line or you know,
you
just
throw
all
bran at your face really hard.
No, I just have a
just cry.
I just have a bowl of it and just suffer through it and just go. Just ground. It's a grounding experience because you could have had a nice slice of Marmite and toast, but you're going to suffer the bowl of all bran.
Did you have a very low fiber diet in general?
No,
he's having loads of all bran thrown in his face.
It was my dad's cereal. Like it wasn't. I didn't go to my mum. Hey, can you get some more all bran? I love it.
I ate all bran once as a kid. I ate an entire box because the doctor told me I had to.
Right. That's it. So what you were projecting when you said, did I have a fiber problem? Yeah. What you're saying is like, you had a fiber problem.
Why would anyone else drink it? Or eat it, sorry. Because that's why I ate it.
No. I just, I ate it to punish myself.
I think that's what the doctor did to
my dad probably ate it for the reasons you're talking about. Yeah. Right? Yeah, probably.
I'll stick with Frosties.
I used to sneak some cocoa pops onto it just to make it more interesting. Half cocoa pops, half all bran.
I don't like sugar added cereals. Mm-hmm. So Weetabix was my favourite growing up.
So you were blending cereals as a young child, Duncan. There was the stars.
The only rules in life are the ones you set for you. The ones you know, just who cares? Like, just do what you feel like.
I've just got 4 tablespoons of all bran, 2 cocoa pops. And then ricicles.
Don't forget Cheerios as well for a little bit of.
Yeah,
I've got a question for you, Dan. If we did an episode about two things tasting, if something tastes great on its own, it will also taste great. You know, if two things taste great on their own, they'll also taste great together. So, I was talking to my mate who challenged me and said, "Well, would ketchup and ice cream taste great?" And I said, "Well." I said, well,
no, I
easy.
Know this from first-hand experience.
If you put them on chips, though, would it not be okay?
No. It depends with the garlic content of the ketchup.
Right.
The higher garlic content, the worse they go together. Yeah.
So
I as a kid, I had ketchup with everything and I tried it with everything. I tried Viennetta, tried it with vanilla ice cream.
That's actually disgusting, Dan.
Yeah, it was.
Ketchup and Viennetta.
But it's the garlic content of the ketchup that is the worst part of that mix.
How did that happen? That wasn't purposely. You've like, right, I really need some Viennetta and I've only got a used plate and there's tomato ketchup on there. And
no, it's
interesting you should say that because I'm actually currently pitching garlic-free ketchup to some very large entrepreneurs in London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it your kids?
I've only got one kid and she's not old enough to make an investment.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah. I'm not speaking to her yet.
Yeah, but I went through years of loving to experiment. So I can tell you some really, like, that's not the weirdest fact.
A
Frosty Jack with a shot of absinthe. The two flavors neutralize each other out and they almost taste like water. 3 shots of absinthe to a pint of Frosty Jacks. Tastes like a pint of absinthe and is vile.
Just on the pint of Frosty Jack with a shot of absinthe, drink responsibly, folks.
Yeah, stick to the 2 shots, not the 3.
Yeah, just the 1 shot, 2 shots or 3 shots is irresponsible in
but
that pint.
2 generally Jack. Still works, 3 is too far, but any mixing with Frosty Jacks is a bad idea.
I'm just making a note in my...
ciders are available.
I'm just making a note to say if Dan invites on a lad's night out, just to
avoid the Frosty Jack.
Yeah, just
be careful. If we go back to the early thing, I'm now drinking 3-4% beers.
Yeah, true.
a little bit strong.
Right. I'm going to throw another question at you. And I'm not giving you any time to think about it. So 3 drams in a pub. What are they? What you would like to see on the bar if you walked into a random pub somewhere? What would you want to see?
So it's not ones that you standardly see. It's just what you'd really enjoy.
If you were like to walk in a pub, you'd be like, I'd like a blend. I'd like something. What would you want to see on there?
Yeah, no, just what you want. Yeah. Just literally what you want. Like, or just be selfish. You go into a pub, you don't care about anyone else. Just what you want.
That's what I want as my American whiskey. I want a Michter's. You always know you're going to get great whiskey out of that.
Amazing.
Doesn't matter which one it is. Sour mash, the rye, lovely. You've always got to have a good American whiskey, I think. Then you've got to have really, really good scotch. And I really like Bunners.
Yeah.
Right. And if it's for a good value as well, Bunners 12. Simple, gets there, delicious. And then I want something really random and just different. At the moment, I'm thinking, because we talked about Baines earlier, Baines, one of their 18-year-olds, the Fino cask. I've got the Fino cask at home. I love.
The Fino's good. All their single casks are super hard to get hold of.
Something like that. Really just when you go like, I can't get that again. Anywhere else. Ooh.
So Dan. Not SE11 then, just saying.
I'll edit this bit out as being a twat.
What's wrong with that? There's loads of whiskey available in the world. It can't be, everything can't be the best whiskey. Dan's just going what he fancies when he goes down the pub. I'm just saying.
Because I want a pub just to have an everyday generalist selection. That's more like that. But yeah. If I was really going to pick a pub, my local, you went there, Dan, didn't you, last year?
Red Lion, top pub.
Yeah, we put a couple of bottles behind the bar so that there's always a really, really good selection behind it and stuff you just wouldn't expect. Like, they've got an SMWS Glen Scotia behind the bar.
Yeah.
Someone will walk in there and be like, what the hell?
I was actually a bit disappointed that I understand it's a lot of work that you didn't have that St. Albans Whiskey Festival again this year. I understand you might do it next year. It was really good fun.
Yeah, it's going to be every 2 years is the way. To be honest, there was meant to be a virtual festival this year, but it got the brands that were part of it pulled out.
All right.
And it's really difficult. And I don't think we're going to have virtual festivals anymore because the investment from brands is just too high. And that's what those sipping sessions, well, the first one I've done here. That's our trying to offer something that everyone can do.
Yeah.
It's what I learned from. Like, I never thought the virtual. I never thought we'd do two. Virtual festival was a time and a place, but we had people in the Outer Hebrides as part of it. We had someone's got agoraphobia. I hadn't been to a whiskey event in like 8 or 9 years.
Nuts,
got to it. Yeah, and then you realise that there is this requirement for an online event, but it's just got to be
like 2021. You were like, you saved Christmas. Do you know what I mean? You saved whiskey that year.
I just got really annoyed no one else was doing anything. They just, all I kept on hearing was everything that was cancelled. You're like, but
why? Oh, right.
Why don't you create something? And I was actually really worried for the small brands because at that point, no one knew what was going to happen. The only way small brands got out was to go via retailers, and the retailers put the effort into them. All shops are shut. Yeah. What's going to happen to the innovation, the fun, the novelty in what we enjoy? So that was a big part of why I did the festival. Yeah. Little did I know that lockdowns are the best thing ever for small distilleries. I didn't know that was going to happen. So it was that I don't like that all of our whiskey funds taken away. I don't like that all these small distilleries have lost their way of talking to people, and I don't want to lose them. Mm. Why is no one else making an effort?
No, it was good.
All right.
That came, but that was just brilliant. I can't remember what time of year it was.
May.
Was it May?
Our first one was May, the second one was March.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Are we still talking about going to St. Albans to Red Lion or something else?
No, this is the virtual festival.
Oh, right. We survived through COVID by organising like a weekly pub quiz with lots of friends online. Yeah. Each week someone would take it in turns to come up with a quiz.
I got bored after like week three. I was like,
no, it was really quite good fun actually. We had people on from all over the world, and you know, everyone did a good quiz every week, and it was at least something to do, wasn't it?
Yeah, like,
you know, it was really nice to have to wait that split second in conversation. That lack of actually, one, I'm looking at you in the eyes,
yeah,
but you can't see that I'm looking at you in the eyes. I'm talking to you, but you don't know I've stopped because I might just have stopped for a split second, carried on, but you're now, and now I've just overridden your. That I hate.
Yeah.
The quality's got a lot better of recent, but I know exactly what you're saying. It's not the same, right? It's hanging out in person, is it? Come on. It's a long way away from it. That's why I was asking about the whiskey festival. It's a really good one because the Red Lion's such a good venue, and it's like, it was beautiful in the garden. It was like sunny. It was not too big. You had some stalls around, just some food outside. Then you had the masterclass or the whiskey tastings, inside, and in the pub, and it was kind of cozy. It was really good. Like
it's perfect, but it is months of hard work.
Grief.
I can't afford, because I don't agree with some of the prices we get charged for stuff. Mm. Yeah. The only way I can not charge that is if I don't have staff. And that means I have to do all the work myself.
Yeah.
So it's a graft, isn't it, basically?
Yeah. And that's it. Yeah. So you saw in the day, like, I spoke to you for about 2 minutes. I'm trying to give everyone like half an hour because I want to speak to everyone, because most people I know from social media, they're members and stuff, and I want to have a conversation. I haven't met you in real life, but I'm running around making sure there's enough glasses over on that table. Yeah. The water's topped up everywhere. That so-and-so who brought a kid is respectful because kids aren't allowed in that pub. That everyone's going to go and do that tasting, and then that room's cleaned up afterwards. And all the other question, it's that I'll do it, but I just can't do it every year.
Yeah.
It takes quite a lot out of me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe you can get someone to help with the festival next year, rather it's not just on you.
Then I've got to put up prices.
No, I mean, there might be someone good-hearted who's willing to actually help you without charging for it.
Up to next year.
Yeah.
I might be able to put a little bit of work.
The Honest to a Malt Whiskey Festival. You heard it here first.
Yeah. The St. Alban's takeover.
Yeah, do it. I'm more than happy to help someone else run an event.
Hey, mate, there's not enough people listening to the podcast to.
You ain't covering the gate, mate. Yeah.
So I did have a bad. If it all went wrong, and like it's been, and we couldn't run it, I was just going to hire the back room in the pub, bring a load of bottles, and we're just going to sit there and just tell everyone. Yeah, just everyone bring a bottle. I'll make sure that there's more than enough that everyone's got something random to try. And we just chat.
Yeah.
And that, I think there's something massive in that idea. But you have to pay for the venue, because you're never going to, or if you're buying drinks on top of all that whiskey, you're in trouble. So the venue, and then also now you've got to charge people, or you've got to do it off your own.
You've got to get prepared for a whiskey festival the right way. I've been to whiskey festivals with different people, and my top tip borrowed of someone is basically go to Greg's and have about 4 large sausage rolls before you get on the sauce.
Yeah.
Are you sure 2's enough? No, probably 4.
You haven't done the cheeseburger challenge?
No.
How many can you fit in your mouth, one at a time, like in a minute? You need
that
to do,
sounds ridiculous.
Just a bog standard McDonald's cheeseburger.
Yeah. But the reason it's good is for a festival, I can't think of a better prep.
Yeah. This could go really wrong though.
Well, I mean, my preference usually is to have like, I don't know, like a tuna sandwich or something like that. But if you're going to go and have a lot, you need to eat something
like greasy. A tuna sandwich. That's exactly what you had when I left you the other day, wasn't it? You left the Leicester Square Theatre in Leicester Square area, and you went and found a tuna sandwich, healthy tuna sandwich.
I was in Five Guys for a long time asking about their tuna sandwich selection, and they kept saying, do you want everything on that? What, with the bacon?
I want beef burgers with my tuna sandwich, please. Yes, yes.
Do you put tuna in the shakes as well?
When you go to Five Guys and then you're reminded that it costs close to 11 quid for a burger, and then they go, do you want chips? And you're like,
no, not now.
Especially as the specialist burger joint that's 20 meters away is charging £9 and gives you chips, and you're like, but do you know that's the best place in town?
But I think if you know an area, it's all very well, because like my idea would be to go and get a shish kebab with all the works on it. But then you've got to know where there's a good shish kebab place. That would be my ideal.
Yeah.
But you know, if it's hit and miss, isn't it, with
drunken takeaway,
that type of thing. Mm. Yeah, exactly. Right.
But the best thing about Five Guys is you get to have bacon in your shakes. That's it. And when they make the bacon freshly in front of you, and they go, it's not crispy enough yet. Yeah, you know what I want.
I've never had bacon in a shake at Five Guys.
Oh, you have to. I like it. It changed my world, and then it's also why I'm not allowed to go back, because there's only so much unhealth you can put in your body on a day. That you were talking about units. I like to think
that's not what happened. I think that's not what happened. Basically, they didn't do the bacon in the right way, and you pissed off. I was like,
I'm not allowed back.
It was a full on
because I
full on fight with like seven staff members.
That's why I'm not allowed back. That's all we're saying.
Just stand screaming.
You're like bacon, peanut butter,
make it cherries, crispy,
malt. These aren't things that all should go together, but I'm having them.
So what do they specifically put in it there? Like bacon with what? What, bacon and strawberry milkshake with bacon? Is that what you're saying?
No, you get to pick the ingredients.
Right.
So okay. You can have peanut butter, you can have malt, you know, like you get the malt drinks. You
gherkins?
Huh?
Gherkins?
Sure they would.
I haven't seen that. I doubt it, but...
Do people just go to like Five Guys then and just challenge each other to have the most disgusting milkshake ever made? Is that what they do?
No, because you can't have a disgusting milkshake there. Yeah. All the ingredients are great. You put more together and you're like, I didn't know they mixed so well.
I mean, it just mixes well. You're going back to the thing that random flavours work together, which is fair enough. We once did, when we were really young, we went into McDonald's. Do you remember when McDonald's was doing that extra, extra large, like the disgusting portion sizes they did for a while, which they then stopped? When it was like super obscene. And they did a super size milkshake, and I went in with some friends, and one of my mates, Sean, we had a milkshake off, and we saw who could drink a super size milkshake in the fastest time, through the straw, by the way, only through the straw, single straw. And I think I won in a time of around 11 minutes and 10 seconds. And that was the fastest I could drink a super size McDonald's thick shake through a straw.
As you know.
And the ice cream... The ice cream headache was like an absolute sledgehammer.
I enjoy taking stories and then topping them. That's something I do. So on that same skiing trip I mentioned earlier in Canada, we were in a bar and there was a drinking challenge that came up, and I'm an idiot when I'm drunk and I will just not back down to any sort of challenge that someone puts in front of me. And it was up on stage to do a gallon of chocolate milkshake
for
$100 Canadian. And there was me, an English lad.
That's four and a half. That's four and a half pints.
Me, an English lad, and a American. And yeah, I was the first person that's ever finished it. And they went, "Give me my money." And they were like, "We haven't even got the money." I went, "You better go and find it." Got my money, and then spent 2 days throwing up.
I know that.
I don't know if you've seen the episode of Jackass where they do something similar with milk. God, I was in.
You can't even have that much volume in that time.
My stomach's never been the same since. But it's worth it.
It's worth it. It's worth $100 they had to scrape together.
£50 or something.
Yeah.
Partly for environmental reasons, we've had a milk off in our house. I used to work for Dairy Crest, and I had to get some bottles for a photo shoot, and I asked for them empty, and I couldn't in the time get them empty, so I had to get full ones and empty them. Like, I'm not throwing all this milk away. That's disgusting. That's just wasteful. So five of us tried to see if we could drink 140 pints. And we all...
140 pints?
No, we can't. But we all got to the point where we were sick. So we tried.
In what time period?
An evening.
Yeah. Right.
It wasn't even a challenge. It was just drink as much as you can, because I can't throw this all away. This is disgusting. Yeah.
For context, have you ever done where you have to have a can, like a 500ml can or a pint every hour?
Centurion challenge. Yeah. Oh, no. Well, have you ever done the Centurion challenge?
Yeah, I struggle with that because it's too slow.
A shot of beer every minute for 100 minutes.
I've not done that one, but I've done a pint every hour. And that's difficult near the end because, one, you get fed up of drinking it, and two, your body's just fed up of the volume, right? So I can't imagine 140 divided by 5. It's like...
We did not have 20 pints each. I can tell
24 pints each. That would be 24 pints each.
Yeah, we didn't.
Yeah.
We struggled to get for a 6-pinter each. Yeah.
My days,
but there was an environment. I do care, like, hopefully you saw from the packaging you got
yeah
for our thing.
Yeah, I mentioned that. I missed that bit out of the wrap, but you know, basically it's good packaging. It's all cardboard, paper and glue. That's pretty much it.
I really care about all of that kind of stuff. And it does impact my choices. And I did stupidly, because of it, start a sample subscription out of anger.
Is that the one with the Pioneer stuff? Or is that
Whiskey Pioneer was someone that might be quite a lot bigger was saying that their packaging was because they cared about the environment.
Right.
And knowing that that packaging never breaks down and they aren't part of the really expensive recycling scheme, that's rubbish.
Yeah.
And I was told I'm not allowed to call it out because I'm in the industry. Like, sod it. Piss me off that much. I'll create my own thing and I'll show you that you can have a sample subscription that doesn't increase all the problems we have in the world. Yes, that beauty.
The best bottle ever.
Yeah, yeah, we've got loads of it because they use it in blind drams. I've got tons of them. But what I do is I either recycle them myself so I don't post them back, or I send them with whiskey into other people to enjoy.
Send them on. That's what they should be used for. Keep using them again and again and again because they're durable enough. And even if you recycle them, it's not a problem because that plastic would be in our oceans otherwise. Mm.
So if they just a question for you though, if they slightly discolor at the top, like, is it still okay? Say if they've been left in.
It best had be because I've been reusing them.
Yeah. It's just a thought that I've had because I've had them sent to me discolored and I've been reluctant to send them discolored to people. So then I just recycle them. No, but it's just a genuine question as to whether the plastic has still got its integrity or not.
It still has its integrity, but I believe it's become a touch more brittle.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, that's not a problem. It's really to do with how it mixes with whether it's breaking down or not. It doesn't matter if it's more brittle.
Yeah, it doesn't break down into the whiskey. The whole point of that plastic is that it is completely food grade. It's not the cheapest because they make it so good. Now it's now started to be used by Waitrose, Lidl, Sainsbury's in their products. So it definitely is safe. They will.
Right. I literally posted off to Nick Gascoigne. The 60 ml bottle. So it's probably like, I probably did like 55 in each bottle and then gave it a little squeeze.
Yeah. The magic squeeze.
Today. In the second class envelope, large envelope size, you know, whatever it is on Royal Mail. And, you know, you don't get asked if you post it in that size, but if they do ask, obviously you say beard oil, right?
Olive oil.
Whatever.
Yeah, obviously. Potpourri. Yeah.
It's drugs. It's just straight up drugs.
Yeah, drugs. It's drugs.
Yeah. As long as it's not sharp, don't care.
You actually are allowed to say whiskey. Then it's only supposed to be maximum two, but then they then insist on writing fragile all over it. And you're like, oh, I've already packed it anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
That's why you now go on the Royal Mail, you get your thing, you pay for it online, and the postman comes to your house, takes the package off you and puts a sticker on himself. You don't even need to go near a post box. You'd have to
not for me. I just use it as an excuse to walk. I use it as an excuse to walk the doggo. I just take the dog down the road to the post office. It's like a 20-minute walk.
Yeah. I'm not taking that. I'm not very good with modern advances in anything. There's a reason I have to have staff. I people keep telling me the postman will pick up stuff from my house. They're like, but it's a 20-minute walk to the post office.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's a 20-second walk to the door.
Yeah, it is. My housemate does. He does. He's a lot of with fragrance, and he's always in and out. He's like a collector of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Of fragrance.
Is there money to be made? Yeah. If Duncan's like, well, I do like a fragrance.
No.
Well, no, I don't want to keep anything else.
Start flipping CK1.
I was on a tasting with Colin Dunn years ago. It's one of the first ones where I learned so much, and he went, well, whiskey is the same as perfume. It's an organic aromatic particle. It is, because perfume is alcohol. It's got a smell.
Yeah.
This is alcohol. It's got a smell. And to be honest, there's some of these I'd be very happy to smell of.
You splash it on you.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. Dan's just splashing his favourite dram in the morning.
That's his excuse when he comes in the office. Oh, no, I've been over to Kelowna and the whiskey now. I wasn't dramming last night. That's just the scent of success.
Someone goes, Dan, you stink. Dan's like, what do you mean? Of course I stink.
It's Tamdu.
Today I'm wearing Tamdu.
Yeah. If you smell the potatoes, it's a problem. How do you get potatoes out of whiskey? Don't know. Still happens.
Oh, dear me.
Oh, right. We are rocking up past 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah, but there's loads, there's quite a lot to cut out.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure there's only about 15 minutes you're going to use.
Be like, hello, we have some Canadians on.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
How big is the group now? Are you allowed to say, or do you not share that information?
I don't know why. All the other subscriptions don't. So we're... generally, you just go by the last club bottle that had a number on it. We're not bigger than that, but
I don't. I wouldn't be able to. I wouldn't make time to even work that out. So
it's over 1,000.
No, that's good, isn't it? I mean, that's.
It's not enough to be a proper working business with paying me a wage, but it's more than I expected this would ever be.
So it's like, so for you, if you've got a target you need to get it to, then?
I've got this idea that 3,000 is where we work at our very, very best, because it allows more other things to happen. So, yes, the subscription is the key thing, that bottle every 2 months. But people interact with the club at very much different levels. We have probably half of our members don't want to talk to me ever.
Yeah.
They just want that bottle to turn up and they want to enjoy it. And maybe once a year they go, Dan, well done. Mm. That's it. And I'm happy with that. And then you have through to the ones who want to be at events, that want to have single cast bottlings for the club. And it's like a percentage, and it drops. It's smaller and smaller percentage, the more specialist you do. I think at 3,000, we get the option to do almost anything we want.
Yeah.
Like, we want to do a tour of Scotland. We will have enough people to turn up to make it financially viable. We want to do a single cask. We'll have enough people who will buy into that single cask. I'm not left with 200 bottles on the shelf.
Yeah.
The club can't afford to have that cash flow hole.
Like, dreaming, the next big thing for Somerton, what is it you want to do? You mentioned single cask.
Well, no, there's not one. There's so many bits.
Go on then, list some of them.
I think about this every day. This is my fun. This is really geeky and sad, but I really enjoy thinking about stuff we can do. But yeah, I want us to be able to do single casks. I want our sipping sessions, the tasting online tastings, to be able to run 4 to 6 a year full, just of members who want to explore a certain element of whiskey deeper. I want our physical festival to be able to run every 2 years without me having to spend 6 months figuring out how the fuck I can get people to turn up. You just want things to run reasonably smoothly. So your focus is just on creating the best experience of that certain thing. And where we are at the moment is we're just too small for that. So you have to put so much more effort into it just working.
Cajoling stuff, moving along.
As opposed to it being efficient and working at its best. Mm. We're still just getting to the minimum viable amount. And that's fine, because a lot of the stuff we do has never been done before or never been done in our way. And that's partly because I get bored really, really quickly. Like, if you look at the stuff we've done, most stuff doesn't get done more than twice. The first one is because I've gone, this has got to be doable. Let's try it out. Really regret that thought. Second one is going, right, learn from that. Now let's make it better. Yeah. And now I've got it better. Right,
done it now.
Yeah, then just do something else, right?
That's it. And I'm trying to teach myself to do things longer, but I want to do, it's those extra bits, that's where I think our club really will excel.
There is an element of truth to that, is that even if you yourself have thinking about the next thing, you have to remember that for a lot of people, they are actually just enjoying the place that you've got to, and so you need to stay in that place for a while. I think that's one of the things that I like to come up with new wacky ideas as well. And so I sort of appreciate that, right? And maybe just the place you've got to, people are just happy for you to be there and you shouldn't move it along too quickly.
Or just go completely sometimes. Out of it and go like Takeshi's Castle with whiskey. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Just going nuts.
But Takeshi's Castle.
That's the key thing. We have this core bit that stays constant. It's that 2 months delivery. It's the group on Facebook. Discord's not as interactive, but it's that chat. And everyone has a nice safe space to do whiskey. And then it's the extra bits. That's the bit.
Yeah, but did you hear what Mike was saying? I think what Mike was actually saying is, in order to get into Somerton Club, you would have to go through a Takeshi Castle-style TV show. Yeah. Oh. And if you make it through, only then can you sign up and be a part of the Somerton Club. And you would be the Japanese game master dressed in the thing. And then other Somerton Club members who are already in, like,
they get to push the walls and hit people and stuff.
Yeah, they'll be pushing the walls and shooting the guns from the sideline and firing the tennis balls at people.
That could be your new summer festival.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You're wrapped up.
If you're an existing member, you get to beat the crap out of people.
Well, easy. It's all soft. It's all soft. No one's ever got hurt on Takeshi's Castle, other than maybe their emotions.
you know, like the history of Japanese reality TV. Yeah. Never heard of any disasters at all.
Nope.
It's like Do you remember Wipeout or Total Wipeout, whatever?
Yes.
In Argentina, so they didn't have to deal with UK law. Yeah.
Too much health and
that
safety.
That was a great game show. To Argentina.
Yeah. My mate was going, what we'd do is we'll set up a Wipeout game in the UK for people to know. So the one with all the insurance and health and safety, they have to do in Argentina. Yeah.
Do you remember that bit with the three kind of mushroom things where they have to run along and they'd be like,
oh, the Wipeout.
That was the best bit. That was the best bit. And the like 1 in 100 or 1 in 500 shows where somebody would actually make it across them fast, not slowly. Or when people would go for it, like at full speed. So
they turn into contortion experts because their body just bends in shapes it should not.
Post this, even now or tomorrow morning, just to sort of zhush myself up, I'm going to watch all of the Wipeouts from that, just back to back. I'm going to find a montage. I'm going to get it on. That was classic TV.
It's when you fold someone in half that backwards, their feet have gone over their head.
Yeah. When they back heel their nose.
Yeah,
and then they hit the wall like a 45 degree angle at speed.
Ear first,
and then they're picking them up. You sometimes get the picture of them going.
Yeah,
afterwards.
Yeah, well done.
Oh, what an image! What an image!
Yeah,
that was good.
Well, so we obviously have to have some sort of wrap up. So,
Wipeout show.
Yeah.
Whiskey. Yeah.
So, I think Takeshi's Castle, Wipeout, Somerton Club is where we need to end this. That's a very happy memory or a vision that's in my head at the moment. I think we're not hitting higher.
Our first whiskey festival was a bit like that because it was on the hottest day of the year. And you just like literally, you can't drink that much whiskey at 30 something degrees.
Well, you can.
Yeah, and
we did.
I was so worried about it. One guy actually collapsed.
Was his name Paul?
Is this the one
Paulino from Sunderland?
Jan, is this the one that I went to with the dog?
No, it's 2019.
Oh, I didn't go to that one.
Okay. It was a lot hotter. Like, ours was a nice day. That way it was hot.
Oh, okay.
And luckily, because that was my big worry, something's going to go wrong. So I spent the entire morning just putting up signs, drink water. And we had empty casks filled with water so that people could fill, like, just water every stand, every table, every step you walked. Mm. And this guy still collapsed. And I was so mortified. Luckily, he was with his two sons. So he was in his like 50s. And his sons went, oh, don't worry. He does this every week.
Oh, God.
I'm like, one.
Oh, dear.
That's a certain trait that needs to be addressed. And two, fuck.
Yeah. But three, we found our contestant for Takeshi's Castle.
he's now head member. He's the one who gets to decide the endurance task.
Yeah. So, thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. As always, if you like the podcast, give us a review, follow us online, follow Somerton Club, follow Black Fox Distillery.
Yeah.
All the good stuff.
Honest to a malt.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's us. Thanks, Dan.
Yeah. Dan, thank you again for coming on. It's been wicked. And thank you for bringing the Canadians, Annie. It's been a blast. But thank you very much. And thanks for listening. And we'll see you on the next one.
Thanks, guys, for having me. It's been such a great evening.
Lovely.
Oh, you're welcome, Dan. Thanks for coming on.
I knocked my microphone
off. Much appreciated.
Right. Bye.
I've got red cord growing at the moment.
Very nice.
Right, Duncan, what have you lined up?
I've written it on the screen. We'll just do that, and then we'll do some Richard Herring questions if you want.
Okay. Have you got the music?
Let's try this.
No.
Okay, we're going to.
No, we're going to do this badly.
It goes, summer drams drifting away to our old Somerton. Whiskey, huh? Tell me more. The punters put up a fight. Uh-huh. That's it. That's all it is.
Go on then. You count us, count us in, Duncan. We'll just join in.
Right. Maybe you two join in with a whiskey, huh? Right?
Yeah.
Better. Do we get to drop
one,
out at the end of
three? Summer drams drifting away to our old Somerton. Oh, whiskey, huh?
Whiskey. Oh, you went, what fucking tempo were you going to, mate?
Do you know what? Don't worry about it. I'll get someone who knows what they're doing to record it, and we'll put it in retrospectively.